Welcome to Black Hat 2017 from Las Vegas with Chuck Harold and Dorothy Hill, SecurityGuyTV.com. What's your name?
Rebecca Brown.
And what's the name of your company?
Rapid7.
Now, I like that name. It's kind of a James Bond feel to it or something. What do you guys do?
So we are a company that makes a lot of security tools to help you understand your exposure, to help you identify attacker activity in your networks, and we also do a lot of services as far as helping you get prepared, make sure that you're ready to respond to a breach if something were to happen. We have pen testing team as well. But we are most famous because we are the company that owns Metasploit. Are you familiar with Metasploit?
I'm doing a blink, blink on you because you should know that. You're the brain on all this. No?
So Metasploit.
All right, let's hear it.
Metasploit is an exploit development framework. So when we find out about vulnerabilities that are exploitable, Metasploit will help pen testing teams test those exploits to see whether or not they'd be successful against their network. And if they are, they can help prioritize and remediate patching of those systems. And I also, I'm the threat intelligence lead, so I use all that information to better understand how those attacks would look in networks so we can build detections. So if somebody were to try an attack like that in real life, make sure that we would be able to identify it and respond very quickly.
That's fascinating. So really scenario analysis and helping your clients be prepared before a threat actually commences.
Absolutely.
Now, you're very young. I'm very impressed by that.
I'm not actually that young, but thank you.
Okay. Well, well, look at my gray hair. And you're female.
Yes.
Which is, I happen to notice that too.
Yes.
Which in this field is very unusual.
It is.
And I like to see more of that. And there's a huge shortage of personnel in general. Huge shortage of female personnel in this business.
There are.
So you're an anomaly. How did you get into it? What draw, you know, made you come to it and want to do this?
So believe it or not, I actually came from a field that had even fewer women. I was a United States Marine, so there were only 6% women there.
Never mind.
Hoorah.
Good
so
for
up
you.
To 10%, 11% in information security is actually an improvement for me. But I started out doing adversary analysis, understanding who is targeting our networks and things like that. And then when I left active duty, Rapid7 seemed a really natural fit.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very good. Now, who can use Rapid7? Big companies, little companies?
Everybody.
All right, good.
Everybody. We have a lot of companies we work with who are very large. Our technologies scale very well. But they're also easy enough to use that even small companies who have a very small staff can actually use them to understand their attack surface. We have Insight VM, Vulnerability Management, is one of our scanning platforms to help people understand what assets they have. Because I've honestly found that is the biggest problem with smaller companies is they don't even always understand what it is they're trying to protect. So giving them a really good picture of what they actually have can help them start to protect it.
So a company with, say, 500 people,
yes.
How many days would it take you to come in and to inventory all of their networks, servers, and endpoint devices, for example?
So we can actually do it pretty quickly, and our goal now is to be able to come in, help install the technologies, and get things up and running within 2 to 3 weeks. And now we also have a managed services component where, say, you are a company that does have a very small security staff, but it's very important that you be able to understand and protect yourselves. We can actually come in and help set everything up, make sure that everything's programmed and configured properly, and kind of even shorten that time even more.
And for threat intelligence and analysis, that we talk about the people, the processes, and technology,
yes.
What can your company do to increase awareness and also to create a cyber-first mentality?
So one of the things I love about what we do is we have all these really great technologies. A lot of the threat intelligence work that I do occurs in the back end. It's making our tools smarter. It's helping the processes go smoother. But we do a lot of community outreach. We have a really great blog, the Rapid7 community blog, where folks like myself and my counterparts across the company and a lot of other people who we work with, we have the Metasploit, we have a big, strong open source community as well, can write blog posts to help people understand the things they're seeing in the news and really break it down in a way that's easy for someone to understand, even if they don't have like an advanced cyber degree. And so that's one of my favorite things is being able to make sure that everything we're doing is easily understood by anyone, by, you know, my parents. I want my parents to be able to know what it is that I do. And part of my job is to be able to make sure I can explain it to them.
Now, this is a big challenge to people like me because I want to understand it.
Yes.
And I had my first computer in 84. so I'm not a complete idiot,
yes,
right? And nobody
definitely
had a computer in 84.
I had a computer in 84.
I'll bet you did. But you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes,
two
absolutely
floppy drives, right?
Yes.
How could you have a computer in 84? Well, that's a different story.
My dad's a hardware engineer.
All right, very good. Here's what I've seen. I was at Fox and Disney. We had our own internal IT departments back in the day, in the 90s.
Yes.
Pretty sophisticated guys. Now, way over their heads.
Yes.
They got to go out. People like yourself know what they're talking about. But I like the point where you said you're making Rapid7 easy to use for everybody. Because I think in the industry, the in-house guys are not as smart as they used to be. I don't know. It's a too voluminous. What? They're not the high-level guys you see in the private sector software. Am I wrong about that?
So
they're more like a push-the-button user. Hey, call me. I'll do something.
Some of them are. And, yeah, and that's not necessarily because they aren't capable of doing more, but it's because if you look at the volume of work we're asking people to do now, it
right
used to be a company had like a handful of servers and they use those. Now they have hundreds of servers and everybody has multiple devices and they own mobile devices as well. The amount of work we're asking them to do, the amount of assets they need to monitor and track and protect has grown exponentially.
Yeah.
So we have to be able to automate some of that. We have to be able to make it where they push a button and can understand how things have changed over the past week in their network. And making sure that we can make those things that should be easier to do, make them actually easy, because we're also asking them to deal with a lot of complicated problems, like identify the difference between normal user behavior and an adversary who's trying to mimic normal user behavior. And that stuff is really, really difficult. So yeah, if we can make the easy stuff easy, I'd say that's a good day for us.
Can we get it down to a level where the desktop user, who's just the employee, can be alerted, can take action faster, quicker, instead of waiting for the log to get back up to the IT guy that says, wait, now we got to shut the computer down? You could have an hour delay on something like that before somebody does something about it. I'd like to see the software get to that point where there's some kind of participation of the user, right?
There is, yeah.
Do not go to whitehouse.com. You're in trouble. Push this button. Turn it off. Unplug your computer. You know, and I think we mitigate a lot of things.
User-driven solutions.
Yeah, user-driven, yeah.
Yes, and that's what we try and build is we don't try and go out and say, oh, don't worry, guys, we know what you need.
Right.
We take a lot of time talking to these people who are using computers every day, both the end users and the IT professionals and the security professionals who are going to have to respond to things and say, all right, what is hard for you? Like, one of the things we're working on now is phishing. And users are getting smarter as to what is a phishing email. Like, I understand, like, it's kind of like, this is what it looks like, and maybe I shouldn't click this link. But being able to get that information to their security team, yeah, or their IT staff is still difficult.
That's the downfall.
Like, oh,
yeah,
download the headers and send this and
no,
do this.
They don't
and
have to do that. No.
So one of the things we're working on is a way to make it very easy for a user to say, this is suspicious. I'm going to send it all over to my IT team in a way where all I have to do as a user is push a button, but they have everything that they need.
See, this is
those
brilliant
are the kind of solutions we're working
now
on.
Now, I haven't heard the solution yet.
We're
doing 100 shows, and this is unique, right?
This is excellent. I mean, on Wall Street, there are capabilities and functions that allow firms as well as consulting firms to do that, but it really depends on the CISO, and I think
absolutely
that the corporate, yeah, culture, like you said, so we talk about the cybersecurity being within operational risk, and now it's at the fore. It's at the client and the client-facing roles. It's in sales and trading, investment banking, sales. So that leads to the next question. When you talked about your communities,
yes,
and all this amazing collaboration that you're doing, and you are based in Boston.
Yes, we are.
Right, which is great. Are you working with the local universities as well to increase that awareness? And then those are the people who will be hired as we talk,
yeah,
about the shortfall in cybersecurity.
You know, we do. And in Boston, there are some really, really great universities. Actually, we have a Cambridge office that's right down the road from MIT. So that is a great place. We work with a lot of interns, especially on our engineering and our data science teams. But we have offices all over the country as well. We have offices in Austin and Los Angeles. And so we really do try and establish those relationships with the local communities. The universities, as well as things like local chambers of Congress, chambers of commerce,
yes,
and different entities like that, just to help people understand. Everybody's concerned about it. You know, you said cyber first. People, they want to put cyber first, but it's really hard for them to understand.
Yeah, you can't resist clicking. I know it's phishing. Maybe it's not. I got to click and find out. They think the solution is their curiosity instead, yeah, of calling somebody. What keeps you awake at night? What do you worry about?
What keeps me awake at night? I worry that we're making it harder on people to be good at security.
Oh, okay.
That's honestly, there's a lot of bad things out there. There's a lot of scary nation state attacks that we hear about. And I think that our level of security professionals, like, we can handle them. They're hard and it's a difficult task, but that's on us. And I worry that we are pushing it on the user and we're making it harder. We're making them scared of technology when really we should be doing the opposite.
Excellent. Rebecca, yeah, Brown, rapid7.com. Love
you.
Your energy is great.
Thank you.
You're going to,
yes,
do well.
Thank
thanks
you
for coming
Thank
in.
You very much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. It's
good
to go. TV. I keep saying
anytime.
Radio. That's the old brand. SecurityATV.com, Black Hat 2017. Another show up next. Stand by. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.